and Salvadoran dishes, they're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. The prosecution in the Zacharias Moussaoui sentencing trial wanted to bring more emotion before arresting their case. But for the victims' families...
It's just reliving 9-11 all over again.
They heard gut-wrenching audio from inside the cockpit of United Flight 93.
The recording brings to life the horror and heroism aboard Flight 93. Please, please, please don't hurt me. Oh, God, a voice says as a hijacker in broken English barks orders. Don't move. Shut up. Sit down. Then a desperate plea. I don't want to die. Three times. Followed by sounds of a scuffle and muffled screams and a hijacker saying in Arabic, that's it. The passenger revolt is heard with broken glass and thumps, believed to be a cart smashing against the cockpit door. A rallying cry. In the cockpit. If we don't, we'll die. The hijacker pilot jerks the plane back and forth, up and down, cuts off the oxygen, and finally decides to put it down. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
Back in 2003, President Bush said Iraq had two biological labs set up in trailers. Today, a newspaper story claimed when the president said that, he also had proof the information was bogus. Today, White House spokesman Scott McClellan didn't just deny it, he pointed the finger right back at the media.
I saw some reporting talking about how this latest revelation was an embarrassment for the White House. No, it's an embarrassment for the media that is out there reporting this.
The paper says a Pentagon report debunked that information 2 days before the president talked about it. Hurricane season is coming, and this time FEMA wants to be ready for anything. They've joined a whole bunch of other organizations and government honchos in Orlando for a big hurricane preparedness conference.
With less than 2 months until the Atlantic hurricane season, FEMA says it's almost ready. On a scale of 1 to 10, says Acting Chief David Paulison.
I hate to use those numbers. If I had to do it, I would say we're at like an 8. I think we're pretty darn close.
He says it won't all be done for this season, but Paulison says the most critical things will be in place by June 1st. Better logistics management, improved communications, and ability to stay on top of an unfolding disaster. Paulison says the agency's hired most of the 500 additional staff and management it needs for the season, and he promises there will be follow-through on whatever else needs to be done. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Michael Brown's also at that conference. Remember him? A former FEMA head whose head rolled after Hurricane Katrina? The man most criticized for the government's handling of the hurricane aftermath is looking for consulting work. In Louisiana, he tells CBS News he'll work for free and says he can help local government cut through all the federal red tape. A pickup truck going the wrong way on a one-way street in Peebles, Ohio. Police began to chase it and went out of nowhere.
Looked like it was raining money.
Yep, he says it was raining money. The police chief says the driver and passenger were eventually stopped and confessed to robbing a local store. He says during the chase, the driver told the passenger
to get rid of the evidence, and so he started throwing it out the passenger side window.
Thinking the cops would stop to pick it up, they didn't. The Dow gained 40 points in trading today. This is CBS News.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
But we're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the new Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Where'd you find it?
Premium wine section near Woodbridge.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why's that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The new Premium Wine Cask, only from Corbett Canyon.
Canyon.
Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
Every day, your company's computers are being attacked
by spam, spyware, and viruses
designed to invade your business and compromise your privacy.
And there's only one way to stop it.
The Barracuda Network's Spam and Spyware Firewalls. An easy-to-install device that will ensure your business's privacy and safety. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free trial. The Barracuda Network's Spam and Spyware Firewalls. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free trial. Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
You might be familiar with her diary, but how about all the notes and letters written by Anne Frank? They're now on display at a museum in Amsterdam.
There are letters, postcards, family notes, most written before her family went into hiding, most never before made public. Curator Hans Vestra says they cover many of the themes of Anne Frank's famous diary.
Developing yourself, having trouble with your mother, your sexual development.
Anne Frank, of course, died in a concentration camp in 1945. The letters survive as tiny mementos of a life cut short. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
Those low-cost airlines often kill the frills to make flying as cheap as it gets. That usually means paying for drinks and headphones and forget about the complimentary nuts. In India, one low-cost airline didn't even include a sober pilot. The captain was found drunk shortly before the flight. There were 100 passengers ready to fly. Authorities say he wasn't and won't be for a while. They've suspended him. Chris Mavridis, CBS News.
Get the good stuff. Even with today's high-tech engines, a good old-fashioned oil change is still the most important maintenance you can do. Changing your oil every 3 months or 3,000 miles improves fuel economy and dependability and helps you avoid costly repairs. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Valvoline conventional motor oil for just $1.99 per quart. The price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff. Get the good stuff.
Dear John Deere, I just love my new John Deere 100 Series riding mower. I was positively thrilled when I felt the added performance of that exclusive John Deere engine powered by Briggs & Stratton. And when I saw how great my lawn looked, I got so excited I mowed every lawn on the block. And now we just have to figure out who wins the Yard of the Month award. All the best, Hank.
Find a retailer near you or check out the new 100 Series at JohnDeere.com today.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Hi, hi, hi. We've got 3 hours of live progressive talk with no scripts. Just a little outline here. Yes, talk, 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 talk. That's what we do best here on the PBC show. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And our newest station is KPHX 1480, Phoenix, Arizona. We welcome you. And tell your friends in Sacramento, starting as early as next week, the Peter B. Collins Show will be heard on 1240 Talk City in Sacramento. We've got a lot to cover in the next 3 hours, and I hope you can spend as much time as possible with us. Working backwards, we open up the phones between 5:30 and 6 for your free speech commentary on any issue in the news. We'll talk with our investigative reporter from RawStory.com, Larissa Alexandrovna. She's got some new information about the Bush administration's plans for Iran. And she'll share that with us. Also, she recently profiled Sibel Edmonds, a very courageous whistleblower from the FBI who's been featured on our program on many occasions in the past. In our second hour today, Mark DiCamillo, who heads up the field poll here in California, has some startling numbers on the immigration debate. I have never seen numbers this high. People who think that this is a very significant issue. We're also going to talk about the interesting case that's currently underway in Sacramento. I call it the Lodi Mosque Trial. The father and son Hayat are on trial. And we're going to talk with the law professor from the University of Richmond, Professor Carl Tobias, about that case. That's in our second hour today. Just about a half hour away, Jay Cost is going to give us an analysis of Democrats' chances of taking back the House this year, and we're going to look at it through the prism of yesterday's special election in San Diego, that's California Congressional District 50, where Francine Busby failed to get the 50-plus-1 vote, 50%-plus-1 that she needed to win outright, and she'll be facing a runoff against Brian Bilbray coming up in June, and that does not bode well for Democrats taking back that seat. We'll get the analysis from Jay Cost coming up in about a half an hour. But I'm pleased to welcome back to our program the founder of TruthDig.com, a longtime columnist until recently for the Los Angeles Times, and a good all-around muckraking journalist, Robert Scheer. Hello, Bob.
How you doing? Sounds like you're taking over all of California.
Well, we're working on it, Bob. We've still got a lot of work to do.
Are you in the Bay Area yet?
Just online. Don't have a radio station yet, but I'm working on that, too.
San Francisco doesn't have one single outlet for progressive radio?
Well, we're exploring that with the powers who control the outlets. But I just pulled up the Truth Dig website, and I'm pleased to see that you've been busy writing a new book. And it's called Playing President, My Relationships with Nixon, Carter, Bush 1, Reagan, and Clinton, and How They Did Not Prepare Me for George W. Bush. That appears to be the longest book title in American history,
Bob.
That's
not the book title. The book title is Playing President. The other is called a subtitle. I don't know how this confusion comes about. And what you got to remember is Playing President, and it's out. At least it's on our website. It'll be out in bookstores in a couple of weeks. And it's basically, you know, my attempt to look. I interviewed all these guys from Nixon through Carter, Reagan, Bush's father, and Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do George W., but as I say in the subtitle, whatever their failings, they didn't prepare me for our current president.
Yeah.
And it's an attempt, really, to look at what's wrong with the process and why we get such stupidity built into it and why the debates are so off-kilter. So that's the point of the whole exercise.
Well, I can't wait to see it. And when it is officially released, would you have your people get in touch with all of my people? And I'll read the book.
Now, wait a minute. People can go to truthdig.com and order that book today at a discounted price, and I'll even autograph it.
Okay.
Today, right now.
Today only.
No, we're filling orders, and Gore Vidal wrote a terrific foreword to it.
Mm-hmm. And if I act now, can I get a Ginsu knife set? A free tour of the USC campus? Robert Scheer also is a professor of journalism at the Annenberg School of Communications at the University of Southern California. And now that we've gotten that business out of the way, Bob, I want to talk about your syndicated column. It is at Truthdig. It also was published in the San Francisco Chronicle today and perhaps other newspapers around the country. And you had an interview with Colin Powell, and you got him to admit a few things about the failed intelligence and, at least in my view, the way he was used ruthlessly by the Bush administration to front the deception that led us into this war in Iraq.
Well, you know, I didn't get him to do anything, and I don't want to help him get off the hook. I went over to the L.A. County Music Center to hear Colin Powell speak, and he neatly avoided any of the controversies as far as his own role and what happened there. And then there was a reception, a small reception after, and fortunately our publishers, Wade Kaufman, had the foresight to publish whatever kind of, but to purchase whatever more expensive tickets allowed you to go to the reception.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was happened to be writing this column, and I on the whole question of the leaks to destroy Ambassador Wilson and what the special prosecutor said about it, and I had just read the national intelligence estimates from October 2002, and so I was standing right next to him, and I had expressed some support for what he was doing at City College. We both happened to be in the same class at the City College of New York, and we both were engineering students back in 19. We graduated in 58, believe
really?
It or not. So I've always been very fond of Colin Powell as a leader, and I had great hopes for him. I was very disappointed about how he handled the whole Iraq thing, but, you know, I admired his autobiography. So I expressed some pleasant thoughts like that, and I said, by the way, you know, just reading the intelligence estimates, the State Department got it right. It says right in there, there's a State Department dissent and a Department of Energy dissent saying the aluminum tubes are cannot be used for enrichment, they don't accept that explanation, and they totally discounted the Niger thing, and so it seems to back up on the Niger yellow cake. It backs up Ambassador Wilson. So I said, why didn't you take credit for that position, and why didn't that position that was expressed in the estimate that turns out to have been correct, why didn't that inform the president's speech and so forth? And that's when he said, well, the reason I went with the aluminum tube is Cheney was all excited about it in the CIA, and they didn't listen to our people. And then on the yellow cake, the Niger thing, he said he always knew that was wrong. He didn't need Wilson to tell him that it was wrong, and he said the administration just didn't pay attention to it. He said it was wrong to be in the president's speech, and he objected to it. And so as I wrote this column, I said, now he tells us. Why hasn't he gone public with this dissent, and it really raises a very basic question about how does a representative democracy handle national security questions. I mean, if these the leaders basically tell us we can't see these documents because it's national security, then here's the President of the United States says, oh, when it's convenient to me, and I think I can win over a reporter and undermine Wilson, I'll leak, or I'll authorize leaking part of this, which is what Bush did.
Well, it was two steps, though. He did an instant declassification, of which we don't believe there's any written record. It was just his say-so.
Yeah.
And then they leaked information that they knew to be false.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's one thing to try to clear up the record to, you know, make public a document that could, you know, correct misconceptions. But this was not an effort to do that. This was payback. This was a smear campaign.
Yeah, it was a smear campaign, but also, I mean, the whole thing here is that the, you know, this is information that was withheld to from us. This was October 2002, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So for months, they made the case for war. They never told us there was this document that had this major dissent. After all, the Department of Energy, that's the agency of our government that is responsible for the development of nuclear weapons. Their scientists know more about nuclear weapons than anyone,
mm-hmm.
Right? They run the big labs at Los Alamos and Livermore. And these people examined the aluminum tubes, and they said, no, that's not what they'd be used for, and we don't believe there's such a program. And then, they say, the State Department intelligence apparatus, which has very good sources, they conclude, they agree with them and on the aluminum tubes, and they agreed on the Niger thing. And that information was withheld from us in real time when it would have mattered to a representative democracy because, you know, we would have known the president was lying to us in the State of the Union and the whole run-up to the war. This only came out after one major figure in our whole apparatus here, the former ambassador to a number of countries, Joe Wilson, blew the whistle. And the reason he blew the whistle is he said, look, I was sent there by the CIA. I did due diligence. I investigated this. I reported it. And you never acknowledged the truth of the matter. And now you keep on with these lies. And that's why he went public very reluctantly.
Yeah.
And then what do they do? Instead of saying you're right and we were wrong and we should behave better in the future, they then try to undermine this guy. And the reason that Libby went to Judith Miller of the New York Times is so she could weigh in an internal dispute at the New York Times and say, wait a minute, why'd you run this op-ed piece by Joe Wilson? He's wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And you're right. They selectively leaked part of the data. And, you know, and when you finally get to see the whole document, or at least the portions they've released, because they still haven't released, it's a 90-page document. They haven't released most of it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the key findings, they did include the dissent. And one thing we discovered in reading the full of what they released is that the Niger reference wasn't even one of the key findings, and that there was this major dissent
right.
from two agencies in government that really knew most about this, and that's what the president chose to ignore. And the interesting thing was here was Colin Powell saying, yeah, well, we got it right, and the president should have paid attention to it. He didn't because of Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Well, then the question is, why does Dick Cheney have this enormous power that he can get the president to do anything, and he can veto findings of the top intelligence people in the government? And is he some sort of fanatic? Does he have some sort of hold over the president's mind? Is he some kind of Svengali? I mean, that's sort of what I got from it. And why does a man of Colin Powell's expertise and distinguished career, why does he lose out to a Dick Cheney? Because that's basically what he said to me. You know, Dick Cheney, they carried the day, and they listened to him, and they didn't listen to me.
We got to take a break. We'll pick up there as we continue. Robert Scheer is my guest. He's a columnist and the founder, co-founder of TruthDig.com, where you can find the column that we're discussing today about Colin Powell's recent remarks. If you have a question or comment, there's room for your call right now. Central Coast, a local call, 831-899-5792. Anywhere else, call us toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. That's how you reach the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show, About College Funding, this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue with journalist, columnist, and author Robert Scheer. Go to truthdig.com to read the column we're talking about and to order up his brand new book, Playing President, with the lengthiest subtitle in American publishing history. And as we return to our conversation, let's listen to the comments that were made by then-Secretary of State Colin Powell before the United Nations on February 6, 2003, and some follow-up comments, correcting the record, from former weapons inspector Scott Ritter.
Saddam Hussein has used these horrific weapons on another country and on his own people.
Colin Powell spoke of thousands of liters of anthrax that were unaccounted for, and he said they're probably hiding it. And then he held up a little vial of white powder, and he said a couple teaspoonfuls of white powder like this, if launched against American cities, could kill thousands of Americans. If he was truly to reflect the Iraqi capability, he would have held up a bottle of Diet Coke and said the Iraqis produced anthrax that looked like this. It has a shelf life of 3 years. The last known production batch came out in 1991, so even if Iraq was hiding this brown sludge liquid, it would be useless today.
That's Scott Ritter. And Robert Scheer, as you hear those remarks and you think of your interaction with Colin Powell just a couple of days ago, did he express any sense of embarrassment or remorse about the way he was used?
No, I would not say characterize it that way. I think in that sense he's very much a part of the Washington, what's the right word? I don't think this is just the Bush administration, although it's more pronounced. You can go back to McNamara if you've seen the documentary Fog of War.
Sure.
Where McNamara there does admit he was wrong and the information was wrong and so forth. And then he says 3.4 million people died in Vietnam as a result of this unnecessary war. But he doesn't shed a tear. He sheds a tear when he remembers President Kennedy. But there isn't a tear shed for the, you know, for 3.4 million people that died because of some policy that he knew was wrong at the time.
Yeah.
And that's what bothers me about Colin Powell. I'll accept that Colin Powell is about the best of this bunch. I'll accept that he's a well-intentioned person, that he's a true patriot. And I think, as I said before, the autobiography he wrote about his own life, he grew up two subway stations away from me in the Bronx. I know something about that world. I know something about that generation that went to City College. And, you know, I have great respect for what he did and for his rise in his career. But, you know, we expect, not only expect, we require people to tell us the truth, certainly about the most important matters of war and peace. At a time when people say we have to surrender our freedoms because of national security, we're surrounded by enemies, there's this absolute hysteria. And here's a guy who knew that the hysteria approach was taking us off track. One thing Colin Powell said, I actually didn't put it in my column because it has been admitted over, but he said categorically, he said, there was never any reason to believe there was a connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll put that in another column, but he's very clearly said that. And it was, by the way, it's not alone to me. There was a group of about a dozen people standing around at this reception, so they all heard him say it. And then he denied, he said, well, the president never really actually said that. Well, come on, the president indicated that or hinted at it 100 different ways.
Right.
And yet here was Colin Powell telling a group, or, you know, after his lecture, he just said, oh, no, there was never any reason to believe there was a tie between Iraq and Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda. They were enemies, and there was no evidence there was any connection. And so going to war in Iraq had nothing to do with fighting Al-Qaeda. Well,
now,
that's the denial of the whole administration's position, yet he never has come out and clearly said that.
One of the other elements of the testimony from Powell, and by the way, this occurred just 6 or 7 days after Tony Blair visited the White House, and Bush, we now know, acknowledged that the WMD argument was built on very flimsy evidence, but it didn't matter to him. He was going forward anyway. But one of the things that Powell talked about was the so-called mobile weapons labs to create biological weapons. And he, you know, he put up a PowerPoint presentation that a kid could have drawn. And now the Washington Post reported today further information that the president knew that that was false at the time and let Powell go ahead with it. He knew it was false before he made speeches averring the very same things. Did Powell reflect on that in any way in your...
Well, the Washington Post story came out after I had talked to Powell. I talked to Powell Monday evening.
Right.
And the Washington... I'm looking at my computer, and I just went to Truthdig, and that's our top story is the Washington Post story, because we think it's very significant. And it, what it is not just that they got it wrong, but that we were deliberately misled.
Yeah.
That they knew in real time that it was wrong. Now, Powell has got to... If he wants to, you know, I don't know what his goal in life, he may want a statue to himself, and he'll probably get that. You know, after all, they gave George Tenet the Freedom Medal for playing such a bad role.
And Bob Bremer, too.
Yeah. But, you know, Powell, I just don't know what to make of him. As I say, the man who wrote that autobiography showed a great sensitivity, a concern for truth. He by the way, in his autobiography said, had he read Bernard Fall, he would have known that Vietnam was a mistake. He said we should never be lied to about these matters, you know. And here he still has not made a break with this administration. Now, he puts it in terms of loyalty. He's the good soldier. But your major loyalty should be to the voters, to the people
yes.
in the country, to the truth.
Yeah.
And that's what he's betraying. I mean, this has been, I don't care what system of government you have, you know, the people in power, they always go along. Now, at least in a totalitarian society, they can make the excuse, well, I would be tortured if I told the truth.
Right.
But Powell's not going to be tortured if he tells the truth. He might not get that statue in near time.
Robert Scheer, I'm sorry, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for writing this column. Go to truthdig.com for more information and to order Bob Scheer's new book. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with a brand new reality radio show every Saturday evening, 6 to 7, right here on AM 540 KRXA. We'll have colorful, interesting guests and we'll take your calls. There's no subject we won't explore together. So join us this Saturday night, 6 to 7, on Reality Radio with Sheila Gale on Progressive Talk Radio, AM 540, KRXA.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Listening to the Peter B. Collins Show from the Left Coast. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz. En vivo, we're live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And our program's also heard on KPHX 1480 in Phoenix, coming soon to 1240 Talk City in Sacramento, probably next week. Many Democrats have hopes that the midterm elections this coming November will return control of the House of Representatives to Democrats and make Nancy Pelosi the first female Speaker of the House. And yesterday in San Diego, a special election was held to choose the successor to the convicted felon, Randy Duke Cunningham, the Republican who held that seat for many terms. He was a decorated top gun from the Vietnam era, and he is in the slammer now because of the fraud and corruption charges that he pled guilty to. There were 18 candidates seeking to replace Duke Cunningham. Only one Democrat ran, and so she had that field clear, Francine Busby. And while she did increase her margin, she ran against Cunningham, the incumbent, 2 years ago, she did not win the race outright, and that makes it much more difficult for her to win it in the runoff, which will occur on the same day as the June 6th primary here in California. To discuss this, we've asked Jay Kost to join us on the program. I found an analysis that he wrote at the website realclearpolitics.com. Jay, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Nice to speak with you.
Well, it's my pleasure, and first time to have you on the program. I'm delighted to connect with you.
Oh, well, thank you.
First of all, just about you, can we find your rants and writings at other websites besides Real Clear Politics?
Well, in the 2004 election, I was blogging at my own website, which is still up, but it's no longer active, and that's jcost.blogspot.com. Okay. Beyond that, I'm writing columns for Real Clear right now, and then probably at the end of May, I'm going to start a blog that they're going to host on the 2006 races.
Okay, great. Well, what you wrote impressed me with your analysis and a kind of hard-nosed look at the prospects that Democrats face in trying to win back control of the House. Now, let's focus first of all on District 50 in the San Diego area. It is a 30% Democrat, 44% Republican registration. So right out of the box, Francine Busby had an uphill challenge. And as you pointed out in the piece that you posted today, she did improve her standing by about 8 points, but it wasn't enough to win the 50% plus one that she needed to avert the runoff. Tell us what you think the factors were there.
Well, I think that I know a lot of analysts, I know, for instance, Charlie Cook did not see this race as being as vulnerable for the Republicans as I did, but I actually saw it being quite vulnerable. It's true that the Democrats have a registration disadvantage there of about 14 points. But if you look at the way California 50 over the last 10 years has voted in presidential elections, the skew, if you will, toward the Republican Party has decreased. So, for instance, Bob Dole, in 1996, received about 41% of the national vote. In California 50, he received 51%. In 2004, George W. Bush received 51% of the national vote and only received 55% California 50. So it's becoming less Republican in a certain sense. And on top of that, I mean,
just to stop you for a second, the redistricting did occur between the Dole and Bush elections, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, if anything, I believe that the redistricting made it slightly more Republican, but I could be wrong about that.
I think you're right, because the pattern of the California redistricting was incumbent protection.
Yeah,
and it makes it very difficult to knock off a sitting member in this in the current context.
That's correct. Yeah, and well, at any rate, if you look at the 2004 Almanac of American Politics. I mean, it's very difficult. It would take a lot of effort to get numbers for this current district for 1996. So at best, we have to guesstimate. But Michael Barone in the 2004 Almanac has the 2000 presidential vote for the 2002 district, because, of course, 2002 is the first year the new district is in play. So
Correct. It
is true that the district, it's Republican, but it's become less Republican. And I think in particular one of the things that I have found very interesting in Bush's support nationwide is that it has declined among Republicans, and I think that it's probably likely that decline is not consistent across all Republicans. So it's probably situated in certain places and not in other places. And my intuition, at least, is that it's more likely that Republicans are mad at Bush in San Diego, California, than, for instance, in Birmingham, Alabama. So the district is a Republican district, but it's not as Republican as many other districts. And if you look at the overall number of districts that are in play for the Democrats, it was definitely something that was on the table for them. Mm-hmm. Now, on top of that, of course, you had Cunningham, who, you know, disgraced himself and disgraced the district. And very frequently what you see in situations like that, when an incumbent politician is indicted or there's an indictment circling or something like that, you see districts moving against their partisan, their traditional partisan alignment. So, for instance, in 1994, in my congressional district here in Chicago, Illinois 5, Dan Rostenkowski, of course, was the very powerful chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, was under indictment mm-hmm. in the election, and he lost to a 31-nobody lawyer named Michael Patrick Flanagan. So the deck, I saw the deck as being strongly stacked in Busby's favor, because not only do we have these factors of the partisanship and Bush, who I think was a real drag on the Republicans there, and Cunningham, but on top of that, you had a very low turnout election. You know, the total vote was very, very low, lower than even the primary election.
Do you have a sense of ballpark?
What's that?
A ballpark on turnout?
No, I don't. I don't have the turnout numbers in front of me. I believe, though, that I think that the turnout was about 110,000 voters. Mm. I could be wrong about that, but. It's low, and in a situation like this, you know, when you presumably the Democratic base is mobilized and interested in taking a seat back, presumably the Republicans are disheartened and angry at their party. I was really thinking that yesterday I was really anticipating Busby to hit the 50% mark,
mm-hmm.
And the fact that she didn't, I think. Sends a very clear signal, a very strong signal about what is going on in the country right now.
Now let me just tick off a couple of factors here, and,
sure.
and you tell me whether you think they should be weighed in this discussion or not. We're talking with Jay Cost, and we're talking about the special election that occurred yesterday in San Diego in Congressional District 50. Francine Busby is not a newcomer.
Right.
She had run before, so she had some name ID in
yeah.
the district. She did increase her margin of support, but as you pointed out, not enough to win outright.
Right.
Number two, President Bush has reached an all-time low in his popularity, particularly in California, in the 32% range,
right.
according to the field poll. And Mark DiCamillo, the field poll, will be joining us on the program a little bit later on today. In addition, the national polling indicates that America's voters trust Democrats now more than Republicans. The last one I saw showed about a 14% spread there, which is pretty impressive when you
right.
look at the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you and I talked before we went on the air earlier today, that congressional races are rarely determined by national issues. It's akin to a city council race or a county supervisor race as opposed to a Senate race. Would you agree with that?
I would. Let me take your points in reverse order. In terms of the national polling, if you look, I wrote a column for Real Clear a few weeks ago about congressional job approval,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, is really very low. And made the argument that if you look, the history of the poll was first started in 1974 by Gallup. And if you correlate the poll's job approval against the parties, the party of the president in this case, it's a very poor indicator of what will actually happen. You can have very low levels of congressional job approval where no seats switch hands, and you can have relatively respectable levels of congressional job approval where lots of seats switch hands. And interestingly, one of the lowest points of congressional job approval was, of course, in 1974. The Democratic-controlled Congress had a very low congressional job approval, and they ended up picking up 49 seats. So there's some logical problems there, and it's not what we would expect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the case for many of these sort of national polls. you talk about generic congressional ballot, for instance, has a very weak relationship with the final vote total. I'd like to tell the anecdote that in 2004, in May, so it's almost exactly 2 years ago, the Los Angeles Times had a generic congressional ballot poll that showed the Democrats beating the Republicans in the generic ballot by 19%. And, of course, the final vote in 2004 for Congress, the Republicans beat the Democrats in the congressional voting, if you add up all of the districts and the Senate and everything, or just the House, excuse me, the voting in all 435 districts, the Republicans beat the Democrats by 2 points. So,
I think what you're describing there, Jay, is an interesting phenomenon, which is when people are asked these questions, they answer them and make an exception for their own personal member of Congress. So,
for example,
I would compare it to term limits. I support term limits for Orrin Hatch.
Right.
But I don't support term limits for, say, Senator Boxer.
Right.
And so I think a lot of people can apply these or can think through these questions in a manner that does not include their own local representative.
That's very true, Peter. And what political scientists have found time and again is that when you actually ask voters, what was it that caused you to vote the way you voted in your election? If there is an incumbent running in the district, everything depends upon their evaluation of the incumbent. And this, along with a few other factors, add up to what political scientists call the incumbency advantage, and which has grown stronger in the last 50 years. And actually, in 2004, the incumbent reelection rate was something on the order of 98.8%.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that congressional elections also tend to be very low information affairs. So, in 2002, for instance, I think only something like 15% of voters knew the name of their challenger in the congressional race. So, it's a evaluation of the incumbent in a situation where they don't even know who the alternative is, and all of the information about the incumbent is supplied by the incumbent.
Right.
So, congressional races really are only competitive in this day and age in open districts.
Mm-hmm.
And
in the primary, when the maps are drawn the way they are in California.
Yes.
Jay, we've got to take a break and we'll return, and I will still give you an opportunity to comment on Bush's popularity and Busby's standing in the district. And then I want to talk a little bit about her prospects coming up in June. It's going to be very difficult for her to overcome Republican and, not incumbent, but Republican advantages in District 50. We'll talk about that as we continue. If you have a question or comment for Jay Cost, get on the line right now. On the Central Coast, a local call at 831-899-5792. Or call me toll-free from anywhere else. That's 1-888-579-2540. 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley has another exciting show this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. Her provoking theme for the day is, can you choose a better life? You'll enjoy the questions, the challenges, and surprises. Hear how the author of Authentic Happiness had his whole life turned around at 50 by what his 5-year-old daughter said to him. You'll want to hear what's actually documented about what makes a happy life. Joan's guests are Harvey Kaplan, M.D., who has a successful psychotherapeutic practice in San Francisco, and Deborah Jenkins, who's a personal coach and author of Massive Abundance. You'll hear about what breaks your heart, what mends it, where does fear come from, how do we handle it, why are so many adults getting diagnosed ADD and ADHD? Keep listening, and Joan will keep talking about things that matter. All her shows are archived at joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley, Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and that makes me happy. I'm Peter B. Coming up in our next hour, we'll lead off with law professor Carl Tobias, who will comment on the current trial, what I call the Lodi Mosque trial. It's underway in Sacramento right now. We continue with Jay Cost. You can read his commentaries and analysis at realclearpolitics.com. We're discussing yesterday's special election in San Diego, Congressional District 50 here in California, the fight to replace Duke Cunningham, who resigned in disgrace and is now in the slammer. Francine Busby, the Democrat, had no opposition on the Democratic side, but still failed to win 50% plus one to avoid a runoff in June. We'll talk about the prospects for that runoff, which will be held the same day as the June primary. But, Jay, I wanted to give you a chance to respond to the other two elements that I had raised regarding her fortunes there. One, the low popularity of the president, and the other, her standing in the district.
Right. Well, presidential job approval has a complicated and sometimes ambiguous relationship with congressional elections, at least in terms of special elections like this. Political scientists like Keith Gaddy at Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma, have done research and have found that there is a positive relationship between job approval, or there is a relationship between job approval and the final vote results, but not quite statistically significant. And the other issue with presidential job approval is that, again, if you ask individual voters, why did you vote the way you did, job approval or a sentiment about the president really doesn't affect their vote choice directly. So if there is an effect that job approval has, it's indirect. And I tend to see job approval as being part of an overall national set of indicators that do have an indirect effect. Following two political scientists out of UC San Diego, Gary Jacobson and Sam Cornell, and this will get us back to Busby, that very frequently things like changes in real income per capita, presidential job approval, the sense that the public has of the direction of the country and things like this has an indirect effect on final votes, because when it is going against the party of the president, what you will see is better candidates come forth to challenge incumbents and then to throw their hats into the ring for open seats. Mm-hmm. And that gets us into Busby, who is, I don't think that you can really classify her as having been a top-tier candidate. And I was really struck at the large number of Republican contenders for the district, but the small number of Democratic contenders. There was Busby and then one other guy who was just a sort of a nobody, mm-hmm. whose name, Chris Young was his name.
So they kind of cleared the field for her, didn't they?
Yeah. I don't think that that's actually what happened. I don't think that there was a lot of interest from professional political, you know, people in terms of the race. I think that, I mean, Busby had run sort of as a sacrificial lamb, if you will, in 2004. And, you know, I mean, there was really no, I mean, and she has a position on a local school board, but usually for races like this, what you'd like to see for your party is somebody who has run and won some sort of major office, like a district attorney or a state Senate position or a state rep position.
Right, so, and on the Republican side, her presumed opponent in the runoff will be Brian Bilbray, who served in Congress before.
That's right. That's right. Bilbray would be, and that's Jacobson and Cornell's theory is called the strategic politician's theory. And the idea is that professional politicians who make up the best of the best potential candidates will wait to throw their hats into the ring when the political conditions are optimal. And that's why you see things like job approval and the state of the nation and the sense of that affect congressional outcomes. And so the fact that you see, and of course Bilbray was not the only top-tier candidate in the race. There were a few self-financed millionaires, but there was also like Bill Morrow, who was a state senator. Mm-hmm. The fact that he got into the race, I think, I mean, his candidacy didn't go anywhere, but the fact that he got into the race indicates that he thought that this was a good opportunity for Republicans. So this relates, I think, to what a lot of professional political observers, again, like Charlie Cook, have noticed, is that the Democrats have done a disappointing job in recruiting top-tier candidates to challenge Republicans and also open seats. Now, they do have about a dozen, but they have not done as well as I think many Democrats were hoping they would, given the disapproval of Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is really what is going to salvage, if you will, the Republican majority in the House this year, is that I think a lot of Republicans
nationally this year, particularly focused on the House of Representatives.
Right.
And I was fascinated by the article you posted February 15th that people can find at RealClearPolitics.com. And there's a formula. You mentioned Gary Jacobson and another research partner, Edward Tufte.
Mm-hmm.
And without getting too mathematical about it, can you tell us what the elements are of this kind of theory or formula that they have developed and how it might play out nationally?
Above or below its average in the House.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Jacobson has argued, and he was following Tufte, that these are the factors that can help us predict what will occur in a in a congressional election. And if you, I sort of had to do some searching around for an estimate this year in terms of real income per capita. But if you factor Bush in about where he is right now, and real income per capita being growing this year at about 3%, the Republicans are only slightly overexposed, a little less than 1% overexposed. That gets to a prediction of about 11 seats switching hands. And the issue, too, as well, is that there are other, you know, predictive theories. This political scientists like to do things like this. So there are competitive theories, competing theories. One of them...
we only have about a minute remaining, Jay, so I want to leave that for another day.
Sure.
But when you look at the statistical analysis here, and then you look at the past history...
Right.
It's a real uphill slog for Democrats to win back the House this year. Is that it in simple English?
It really is. I mean, the Democrats are at a real disadvantage here for a couple reasons. One of the main ones is that very few Republicans are retiring this year, which is a very good sign for the Republican Party. The the talk about weakness among the congressional Republicans. Tom Reynolds, who is the RCCC chair, has done a very good job of convincing members to stay on. And then in addition to that, you know, most Republican members of Congress are in districts that Bush won.
Yeah.
There's only about 18 or so that are in districts that Bush actually lost, which means that the Democrats are going to have to convince Republican voters to vote against Republican incumbents.
Jay, we're out of time. Fascinating to talk with you. We'll do it again. Jay Kost, read his commentaries at RealClearPolitics.com. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The government wraps up its case against Zacharias Moussaoui.
Jurors hear dramatic final moments of Flight 93.
I think it captures the American spirit. It is truly remarkable.
This is Barry Bagnato in Alexandria, Virginia.
And where is the sun?
San Francisco has had rain, get this now, 37 out of the last 45 days.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. The government rested today in the Zacharias Moussaoui sentencing trial, but first prosecutors played the cockpit voice recordings from United Flight 93, hijacked on September 11th, and they used monitors and graphics to illustrate for the jury what it was like to be on that plane. Here's CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
Jurors sat riveted listening to horror and heroism. "We have a bomb on board," a hijacker announces. In chopped English, orders are barked. "Don't move. Shut up. Sit down." A voice cries, "No, no, no, no," over and over, and then, "Please, please, please don't hurt me," and, "I don't want to die," three times. There are sounds of a scuffle, muffled screams. A hijacker says, "That's it." About a half hour after the attack, these words in Arabic, "Is there something? A fight?" Passengers were revolting, trying to break in. "Let's get them," someone says. You hear loud thuds, smashing glass. Hamilton Peterson's father and stepmother died on that flight.
In a matter of moments, these brave Americans overcame a horrific challenge.
Just before the recording abruptly ends, there's a loud whishing noise. The FBI tells CBS News it now believes that's a fire extinguisher, an indication the passengers did breach the cockpit. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
The defense begins tomorrow. Moussaoui could face the death penalty for not providing authorities with information that may have saved lives on September 11th. Now this.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. In this surly to bed and surly to rise world, it's nice to find a group of people who love what they do. The accountants at Grant Thornton are just such people. It's their passion for what they do, their expertise and partner involvement, that have made them one of the largest accounting organizations in the world, with member firms in over 100 countries. Visit grantthornton.com. It just might brighten your day, too. Grant Thornton, a passion for the business of accounting. This is Charles Osgood, and I'll see you on the radio on the Osgood File.
Your picture-perfect lawn, suddenly destroyed by two types of insects. No matter. Backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advanced created Complete Insect Killer, the only product that combines two chemistries to eliminate insects above ground, plus below ground for up to 3 months. Guaranteed. Time to kick back and relax? Not if you're a damaging pest. Bayer Advanced Complete Insect Killer. Better science, better results.
Just what Northern California doesn't need, more rain. That increases chances for more mudslides.
I think anyone who lives on a hill in California should be scared right now.
CBS News meteorologist George Cullen has the latest on the wet weather.
The heaviest rain has been falling right along the central shoreline of California. San Francisco's receiving very heavy rain. As a matter of fact, anywhere from an inch to an inch and a half of rain has fallen already today. And that heavy rain is going to continue through the night into tomorrow because there's a big storm, and it's just sitting offshore.
In Mill Valley, rescuers have been searching for a 73-year-old man whose house is buried under a 12-foot wall of mud. There was a meeting today in Orlando to discuss the nation's hurricane preparedness.
Despite the inherent challenges, we're going to be better prepared at the federal level for hurricane season this year than we were in any other prior year.
One area that needs improvement, according to Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, is providing fuel to evacuees and relief workers.
We've got to get gas stations up and running, and we've got to get fuel into the trucks.
Is Michael Brown, widely criticized for the failed relief effort after Hurricane Katrina, seeking a consulting job in Louisiana? CBS News correspondent Peter King asked him.
Former FEMA Director Michael Brown says the story's gotten out of control. He tells CBS News he's not lobbying for a consultant's contract with St. Bernard Parish.
I've agreed to help the parish in any way possible, free of charge, that if they have questions or concerns about certain issues.
Brown says he has been talking with parish officials.
Junior Rodriguez, who's the president of the parish, one of the fellows that I met with during the height of Katrina, is free to call me anytime, and I'll help him any way I can.
Brown says the relationship may turn out to be something more, but for now, he's just trying to help. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
A Fort Worth judge has ruled a mentally ill inmate can be forced to take his medication so that he's competent to be executed. Assistant DA Jim Gibson.
I don't see anything particularly barbaric about asking someone to take their medicine when it seems that the result of his not taking the medicine would be to escape the sentence of the court.
Stephen Kenneth Staley has refused to take his medicine. He's to die for a 1989 murder. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Okay, here's something to think about. April 15th is around the corner. You only have a few days left to get your taxes done, and you don't even have an appointment at one of those tax prep stores. Don't panic. Log on to TurboTax.com. You just answer simple questions, and TurboTax fills in all the right forms. And when you're done, you can e-file and get confirmation that the IRS received your return. No wonder millions of Americans use TurboTax. And you know what? I bet a lot of them started even later than you.
TurboTax.com. Log on, and you're done.
Rosemount Diamond Shiraz presents The Urban Escape Plan, Bruce and Julie's Place.
It started with us versus our jobs.
I stopped loving mine a while ago.
Mm. Yeah.
So we stumble on a plan.
Over a bottle of Rosemount Diamond Shiraz.
We get a live/workspace.
A little house on the Oregon coast.
All four of us.
Like a commune.
Except with better clothes.
And more frequent bathing. Great conversation is all about making connections. And Rosemount Diamond Shiraz is the place to begin. Pick up a bottle of Rosemount Diamond Shiraz at your local bar.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast, and now in Phoenix, Arizona. Coming next week to Sacramento, California. We shine a little light to help you navigate here in the new dark ages. Coming up later this hour, pollster Mark DiCamillo from the Field Poll in California will join us to talk about some stunning new numbers about the immigration debate. That's coming up in about a half an hour. We're joined now by law professor Carl W. Tobias, who teaches at the University of Richmond. That's in Virginia. Welcome to our program, Professor.
My pleasure.
It's nice to talk with you, sir, and I wanted to talk to you primarily today about what I call the Lodi Mosque prosecution. The pair of fees, Hamid Hayat and his father, Umar Hayat. But before we get to that, I think it might be interesting to frame it in terms of the penalty phase of the Massawi trial, which today offered more very difficult and grisly testimony. That's troubling for the families, the survivors of 9/11 casualties. And I find this to be a totally unacceptable use of our legal system, because they are trying to, in my view, draw connections that simply don't exist. And they are stretching the emotional evidence that they are supplying to this jury in this penalty phase. And I guess they feel that if they pile on enough of this emotion, it will cloud the judgment of the individuals in the jury sufficiently to sentence Moussaoui to death. And as a former attorney of the 9/11 Commission, John Farmer, pointed out in a powerful Times op-ed yesterday, it appears our government is complicit in a kind of assisted suicide for Moussaoui, who wants to be martyred as opposed to being punished.
Well, I think the Moussaoui case is a very difficult case. The judge, Judge Brinkema, has been very careful about warning the government not to overstate and overreach in the death penalty phase. And so I think she's warned them about exactly what you're saying, and so we'll see what happens. The defense will put on its case, I think, tomorrow, and the jury may come in this week, so we'll see what happens there.
But fundamentally, Moussaoui has lied, either in his plea last year when he pled guilty or in his misguided or at least unwise testimony that he insisted on in offering, which in his own admission connected him to the 9/11 plots in a way that at least some detainees say absolutely is untrue.
Well, it is ironic that it appeared that he was well on the way to not being found eligible for the death penalty until he testified on his own behalf in a way that seems to have made the government's case, as best you can tell.
Yeah. Now, with that as backdrop, before we talk about the Stockton Lodi situation, the government's track record in prosecuting people alleged of any kind of conspiracies related to 9/11 or subsequent plots has been rather dismal. You look at the attempts in Lackawanna, that's Buffalo, New York, the Dearborn, Michigan prosecutions, now this Moussaoui case. They're not really doing very well, and with Jose Padilla, they have gone to great lengths to change venue, change charges in an effort not to lose that case.
Well, and don't forget Hamdi, whom they held for 3.5 years, and then when the Supreme Court said he should have due process, they released him and he went home to Saudi Arabia. And there's the Al Arian case in Florida. So there are a number of cases, almost a pattern, where the government seems to be overstating what the difficulties are, and then when put to the proof, have not made very convincing cases.
Now, for those who aren't aware of it, the case that we're about to discuss is based on some testimony from a planted informant, an FBI informant named Naseem Khan, K-H-A-N, and he's a former fast food worker from Pakistan by way of Bend, Oregon, who so far has been paid over $225,000 in taxpayer money for the information that he has supplied and basically for infiltrating this mosque in Lodi, California. And the product so far is a trial that is underway and about to conclude in Sacramento. And the defendants are Hamid Hyatt, age 23, and his father, Umer Hyatt, who's an ice cream truck driver. And it appears once again that Hamid Hyatt was either manipulated into making some of the statements that were recorded by Mr. Khan, and in some cases egged on by this government informant. What is your take?
Well, the evidence hasn't been overwhelming as presented by the government, and defense has wound up its case. And so, again, it may be part of this pattern we're talking about. There may be some overstatement by the government at the outset, some discussion of breaking up a terrorist cell in Lodi, and then ultimately when put to the proof, it looks like the case may be quite weak, and so the jury may well come in with defense verdicts for the father and son.
Mm-hmm. And are you comfortable with the use of this paid informant, Naseem Khan?
Well, certainly questions have been raised about his credibility. As you mentioned, he has been given quite a bit of money by the government in a vehicle, I understand, as well as some concerns raised in terms of credibility because he said a very high-level Al-Qaeda operative had been in Lodi, and virtually no one believes that that is the case.
And specifically, he claims that Ayman al-Zawahiri, or Zawahiri, who is reputed to be the number two al-Qaeda leader, he is a former medical doctor from Egypt who joined al-Qaeda by way of the Muslim Brotherhood. And according to federal sources, they believe the last time he was in the United States was 1995. But this informant, Khan, claims that he saw him in Lodi much later, as late as 1998 or 1999. Now, he appears to be the only one who offers this kind of testimony, And it's been denied by his superiors and by others. Were these denials entered into evidence in the court, or was his testimony allowed to stand without challenge?
Well, I think it really goes principally to credibility. And because what he said was so unbelievable, it pretty much, I believe, in the eyes of the jury, might well have eroded his other testimony as to what the father and son did. And so it probably has had that effect. It's just so incredible that this high-level operative could have been in Lodi that it colors the rest of his testimony.
We're talking with Carl W. Tobias, a law professor at the University of Richmond, and we're talking right now about the trial that, as he mentioned, the defense has rested, and so it should go to the jury sometime in the very near future. The case being heard in Sacramento, just north of Lodi, which is the location of the mosque where the infiltration by an FBI informant occurred, and the allegations arose that the younger Hyatt, Hamid Hyatt, had made trips to Pakistan and was training to be an Al-Qaeda operative. We'll pick up there as we continue, and if you have a question or comment, the professor's with us for another 15 minutes, and you can join our conversation right now. Give us a call on the Central Coast, a local call at 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. Or you can call me toll-free from anywhere else, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540 for the Peter B. Collins Show.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money in Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets radio network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the ride home, almost 419, and here's Metro Diane.
Well, we have an accident in Gilroy. It's Dunlap Avenue at Godfrey Road. A solo vehicle actually hit a fence there, so the vehicle is now in a field. CHP is on scene, but we do need a tow truck to come and clear the car out of there. Also an accident in Del Monte Forest, Highway 68 at Scenic Drive. Both lanes are blocked. Two vehicles involved in this one, so CHP on scene. And it looks like both vehicles involved in this accident are going to need tow trucks, so tow trucks are en route for that. And keep your eyes open in Greenfield, southbound 101 before Oak Avenue. There's a washing machine in the two left-hand lanes. This report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up Valvoline conventional motor oil for only $1.99 per quart. Napa, get the good stuff. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back in about a half an hour. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show blaring out of your speakers right now. We're talking about the government's prosecution of an alleged Al-Qaeda trainee, Hamid Hayat. Trial is underway in Sacramento right now. And my guest is Professor Carl Tobias. He teaches law at the University of Richmond and studies these trials of alleged terrorists. A couple of citations here from a recent New York Times article about this case. First up, they reported that the prosecution of Hayat and his father seemed to be part of a PR effort, or at least it crossed over with a PR effort to support the extension and, in some cases, expansion of the so-called USA Patriot Act. And, for example, President Bush at the time of the indictment said, "I was very impressed by the use of intelligence and the follow-up. And that's what the American people need to know, that when we find any hint about any possible wrongdoing or a possible sell, we'll follow up." And then McGregor, Greg Scott, the U.S. attorney in Sacramento, quoted as saying, "We have detected, we have disrupted, and we have deterred, and whatever was taking shape in Lodi isn't going to happen now." But the Times, in this article written by Randall Archibald, goes on to say the government rested its case at the end of March without shedding much additional light on what exactly prosecutors said had been taking shape in Lodi. And as defense lawyers eagerly point out, it presented no evidence that Hayat, the younger, was at the camp in Pakistan beyond statements to Mr. Khan that he planned to go and a fiercely disputed confession that the younger Hayat made to FBI interrogators in halting English and without a lawyer present. When you look at these elements, Professor, does this send off an alarm bell in your legal mind that this is a kind of a setup, a kind of show trial?
Well, there certainly is that possibility. Again, as we've said, the case for the government seems rather weak, and the charges are not terribly serious, and so we'll see what the jury says after it comes in. But apparently it was very much stronger from the government's perspective before the government was put to the proof.
And as you weigh these issues and look at the history of these kinds of prosecutions, is there a pattern here? Is this a part of, or at least can it fit into, a pattern of behavior on the part of our government?
Well, it could. I mean, there have been some quite legitimate prosecutions where the jury has come in with verdicts, especially back here where I teach in the Eastern District of Virginia up in Alexandria. But again, there have been others, the one in Florida, Al Arian, I mentioned to you, a 5-month trial in Tampa, and yet the jury returned no verdict on any of the counts for the government. And so that is a concern in terms of people's civil liberties and having to defend themselves in open court.
Well, and as any kind of substantiation for the value of the Patriot Act, I find that quite a bit of a stretch because it doesn't appear that any of the elements of the Patriot Act were used in this investigation and prosecution, or am I wrong about that?
No, I think that probably is right, but many things have been said in behalf of the Patriot Act that don't necessarily have much to do with that particular piece of legislation.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I'm going to show my age now, but I came of age during the 60s and 70s, and I followed very closely the FBI's counterintelligence program called COINTELPRO, which was designed to not only disrupt, but to infiltrate and to basically dismantle the Black Power movement in the country, the Black Panthers. They spied, the COINTELPRO was part of the program that not only did passive information collection, but also put provocateurs in the ranks of the Black Panthers, some of Dr. King's supporters, and other civil rights. And I want to make a distinction. They weren't all benign civil rights groups. Some of them were the more aggressive Black Panther and spinoffs like the Black Peacestone Nation in Chicago. But the tactics that were used went to great extremes. And as they were unveiled and investigated later in the 1970s, the government paid huge settlements to the families of some of the people who were killed in some of the raids in Chicago. And what became clear to me was that there was a gross overreach and something that went beyond the bounds of our Constitution and civil liberties guarantees. Do you see a similar threat to our civil liberties posed by these kinds of prosecutions?
Well, it certainly could be, and there really so far hasn't been much proved in the Hyatt case that there is some type of cell in Lodi of people who are serious threats to the safety of the United States, and we'll see what the jury says when it comes in. But the government certainly was making those allegations, and we have to be concerned about that, I think.
Mm-hmm. And do you see an element of profiling here or any kind of a race-based investigation standard?
Well, these people are Pakistanis, as you've said before, and many of the other people who have been held and prosecuted are people who are people from the Mideast or have origins from nations such as Pakistan or Afghanistan or other parts of that part of the world. So it is troubling in some ways that many of the people who are held and prosecuted are from that region.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Professor Tobias, as we look at the various cases we've discussed here, let me ask you just about one more, and that was the early trial of the so-called American Taliban, John Walker Lind. Do you have any misgivings about the way that proceeding was conducted?
Well, I believe his attorney is from San Francisco,
yep.
And that he's from Marin County or somewhere.
You're correct.
In mm-hmm. that part of the world. And I think it was one of the very first prosecutions, and ultimately I think they pled out for a 20-year prison term, and in retrospect, I think he's now trying to have that decreased because it seemed extraordinary in retrospect, looking backward. But I think probably at the time, that may have been the best that could have been worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, it is troubling, though. Perhaps that sentence will be reduced.
Yeah. And, Professor, about 30 seconds remaining, what would you tell your law students about these cases?
Well, I think when someone is accused, hopefully the person will be able to have full defense in open court in a way that will allow the constitutional rights of anyone accused to be fully vindicated. And that's what the American system and the rule of law is all about. And so hopefully juries will understand that. And if someone has not been proved guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, they will not be convicted.
Professor Tobias, a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Pollster Mark DiCamillo, next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. We are live en vivo on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. We're live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And we're on the air now in Phoenix, Arizona on KPHX 1480. Want to welcome all you Phoenicians to the Peter B. Collins Show. You can get full information on me, and you can send me an email at the website peterbcollins.com. There's a link to our archives and also to the live stream of our show every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. The debate over immigration reform has taken some very powerful turns, and we have seen large demonstrations in the streets that have surprised many Californians and, in fact, many Americans. And to give us some insight into the issues and the public's opinions on them, we turn to Mark DiCamillo. He is the director of polling there at the Field Poll, the Mervyn Field Poll that has been long respected here in California. Mark, how are you today?
I'm very well, Peter. How you doing?
Doing fine. Thank you for joining us. First up, I find it surprising and quite impressive the number of registered voters who told you and your colleagues that they think that immigration is either very important or somewhat important in this year's governor's race. 93%. Is that a new record?
No, I think there are concerns about a number of issues. I think what I focus most on when we ask this kind of question are the people at the very high end of the extreme, the very important proportion, which was a majority, 52%. It's a high number. And when you look across the subgroups of that population, you can kind of see who gives particular importance to it. Latino voters in this state, which is the fastest growing segment of voters in California, they represent about 18 or 19% of all voters now, are particularly aroused by the issue. 63% of Latinos say that's a very important issue for them in this year's gubernatorial election. So all other things being equal, I'd say that, Latinos may turn out in greater numbers than would normally have been expected in this race because of that issue.
Well, Mark, just a fundamental question before we go into some more of the fascinating details and responses to the questions posed. The governor doesn't have a whole lot to do with immigration policy. It is a federal issue. The borders, the Immigration and Naturalization Service is an offshoot of the merged Department of Homeland Security. So as governor, he certainly has some bully pulpit opportunities, and there are certain, local regulations like the driver's license that we'll talk about in a bit. But by and large, the governor has very little influence over immigration policy.
That's true, but it hasn't stopped California voters from making illegal immigration a big issue in previous gubernatorial elections. In fact, if you think back to 1994 when Pete Wilson was running for re-election in California, immigration, because of the presence of Proposition 187, which was a very punitive immigration initiative that ultimately was passed by voters, became the number one issue in the gubernatorial election in that year, and it was one of the main reasons why Pete Wilson was reelected that year. He wasn't particularly popular, but he positioned himself against the Democrat as being tougher on illegal immigration, and that won the day.
And your point is well taken, that the perception that a governor can do something about it is a powerful one. And as I recall, back in 1994, before that passed by the voters, I looked at it and I, without any legal training, declared that four of the five elements were probably unconstitutional. And in fact, that's what the courts found when it was challenged after it passed. But it did serve as a great political wedge issue with, of course, diminishing returns for Republicans, because Wilson rode it to a difficult reelection, and then the Republicans have paid a price for it right up until the time that Schwarzenegger won the recall. Would you agree?
I would. We've seen a tremendous growth in Latino voting, and a large portion of it came right after Prop 187 was passed. It alarmed the Latino voting community and aroused a number of activists to get more Latinos on the rolls and to get them to vote. And since 1994, we've had about a doubling of registered voters, of the Latino registered voter segment, from about 8 or 9% of the state's voters to about 18, 19% now. So, and those voters have been voting heavily Democratic, and it's really served the Democrats well, and it's one of the reasons why California is now considered a blue state, when in the past, it was pretty much up for grabs.
Mm-hmm. And it's probably too early to tell, but given your instincts and the detailed data that you have evaluated over the years, do you have a sense that the Republican leadership in the House, Tom Tancredo and his colleagues, have, similar to Prop 187, overreached in the legislation, the Sensenbrenner bill?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, they're looking at a national audience, not just California. And there may be some political advantages that they see in other parts of the country that don't have large Latino populations. But here in California, where, again, the fastest growing segment of the voting population are Latinos, and that's likely to continue into the foreseeable future, it does serve as a counterproductive measure, because if there's some immediate advantage that anti-immigration legislation provides, in the long run, it sours voters to those who are advocating those harsh positions.
We're talking with Mark DiCamillo of the Field Poll here in California. If you have a question or comment, he's with us till the top of the hour. You can call us toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Or save me a dime on the Central Coast. It's a local call at 831-899-KRXA, 899-5792. Now, one of the things that impresses me, Mark, is that the detailed positions that you outlined for voters seem to have a very high level of, I'm backing into this, the voters have a high awareness of the specific proposals and issues that are being debated in Washington right now.
They have definite opinions on this issue. It's an issue that Californians have lived with for some time. I think they have a more nuanced understanding of the issue. I would say back in 1994, when we were polling on illegal immigration issues, it was more of a simplistic view that voters had, and they really were just trying to send a message to their lawmakers that something had to be done about illegal immigration. In fact, as you say, large chunks of Prop 187 on their face seemed to be unconstitutional. And in fact, when we were polling in 1994, voters agreed that, you know, that if Prop 187 passed, one of the results that are likely to occur is that the courts would probably rule it unconstitutional. Even yes voters were saying that, but they were so outraged that they wanted to send a symbolic message to their leadership that something had to be done, and hence it passed by a fairly substantial margin. Now, when you look at the issue, I think there's more of a balanced view. I wouldn't say it's certainly not one-sided. Some of the attitudes of voters are accommodating to undocumented workers, but in other areas they do want to stay tough. Just for example, in the survey itself, 75% said there should be some mechanism for illegal immigrants who've been here over 5 years to become citizens as long as they remain employed, learned English, and paid any taxes that were owed. That was a proposal right out of the U.S. Senate's plan. But on the other hand, a 54% majority still concurs that illegal immigrants who've only been here for less than 2 years should be required to leave the country, which is a pretty controversial proposal that was also in the Senate plan. So, and then there are other elements.
Let's pause for a second, because
sure.
The first point you made, the basic Senate proposal to allow undocumented workers who've lived in the country for 5 years an opportunity to become citizens in some manner. There's broad-based support for that, 75% across the board, 74% among whites, 76% Latino, 82% black, 78% of Asians and others. So there's pretty broad-based consensus. How does that question break down Democrat-Republican, Mark?
There's bipartisan support, and that is unusual, especially on this kind of issue. Usually you see these big differences between the views of Democrats and Republicans on this kind of issue. But on the issue of allowing some mechanism for them to become citizens, 80% of Democrats and 72% of Republicans were in agreement.
That is stunning.
It is. And but again, as I say, that's counterbalanced by other aspects of the poll. There are get tough proposals here that that voters are embracing as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next point here, create a temporary worker program for illegal immigrants that would legalize their status and allow future immigrants to work in the U.S. 60% of the individuals polled support that, and the soft spot is among whites and blacks, Latinos at 77%, whites and blacks 56% respectively.
But even so, majorities across all ethnic and racial categories are supporting it. I would still say, pretty on the by and large, that is a consensus issue. If you can get majorities among each of the subgroups to support the position, I think you'd have to conclude that that's pretty much a consensus issue. It's the more divisive issues where only a certain segment of the public is in favor, and it's kind of pushing it over the top in terms of getting a majority, but there's another segment that is strongly opposed. Those are the more divisive issues, and there are others among the nine that we read in this survey where that is the case.
And here's the next one. Impose stiff penalties on employers and individuals who hire illegal immigrants. Interestingly, across the board, it's a 60% support for that statement. 65% among whites, 59% among blacks, only 39% among Latinos. What does that tell us?
Well, I think Latino voters are somewhat fearful that if employers are penalized in any big way regarding their hiring of illegals, that it may actually become a broader bias against hiring workers who are of Latino background. I think there's a little worry there among Latinos that this goes beyond just some rational set of sanctions, but it could be used in a broader way to discriminate against Latinos. I think there's a concern among those voters, even though obviously these voters are here, they're citizens, they're all eligible for employment. They wouldn't be affected negatively by such sanctions, but they worry about the broader implications of such laws.
We're going to take a break as we continue with Mark DiCamillo. We'll go to the phones and take your calls. Lines are open for you, Central Coast at 831-899-5792. Elsewhere, toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. And a quick look at the fine print, a random sample survey of 917 California registered voters conducted April 3rd through 10th by telephone in English or Spanish, and the margin of error plus or minus 3.4 percentage points. That's the field poll we're discussing. More coming up in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Do you care about issues affecting the working men and women of our community? Healthcare, immigration, the warmerization of our economy, social justice issues in general.
If you care, there's a show for you. It's called Labor Matters, hosted by Jose Mendez and myself, Ren Bradley. Please join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 449, and here's Metro Diane.
We have a new accident coming through for Pajaro. It's Porter Drive at San Juan Road. Two vehicles involved in this one. It looks as though they are out of the roadway and just exchanging information and then going to get moving on down there, so it might be just a bit of a visual hazard at the moment. In SoCal San Jose Road, south of Summit Road, keep your eyes open for two large potholes. You want to slow it down through there. And there's also a struck dog in the roadway in Hollister. It's Highway 156 at Fairview Road. This report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. With warmer weather just around the corner, get your car looking good with Turtle Wax Ice Synthetic Car Polish. Now only $13.99 at Napa Auto Parts. Napa, get the good stuff. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. We'll check back in about half an hour. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 to 9 a.m. right here. Ten minutes away from the hour, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. And we continue our conversation with pollster Mark DiCamillo from the Field Poll here in California. They polled 917 California registered voters about the immigration debate underway in our country right now. More of the findings coming up here in just a moment, but Dave's on the line from Pinnacles this afternoon. Dave, you're on the air with Mark DiCamillo.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Mark. I'm curious. Well, first let me say, hopefully after I get off the line, maybe you could give us some similarities and differences between 1986 and right now and your projections on what's going to happen in another 20 years. But it just seems like the voters have an opinion, but that opinion doesn't seem to count. It seems like the legislature and the courts' opinion is what counts. And it's apparent that they don't have the will to really do anything. Like this McCain, Kennedy bill that calls for, what, 2,500 law enforcement agents added to the border, which seems like a drop in the bucket that would just totally do nothing, asking, what, people from 2 years or less in the country to leave. How could they possibly enforce that? It just seems totally ridiculous to suggest bills and legislation that they know can't be enforced.
Well, the border is a big issue, very contentious issue, and how to secure the border. One of the items in the survey asked about building a wall or some kind of fence along major sections of the border. That particular item was evenly dividing the public, 47% in favor, 48% opposed. Republicans strongly supportive of a border fence, 60%, but Democrats and nonpartisans less so, just 39% support among Democrats, 43% among nonpartisans. So the issue of border security is a complicated one, and we didn't pose an item about increasing the number of border agents. I know at one time in California there was a circulation of a possible initiative that would have called for a California kind of border-based police within the state. That didn't make it to the ballot this time. Otherwise, we would have polled on that. But it's a complicated issue, and how to enforce the borders, I think, has been the toughest nut to crack for the last 20 years. There's no question about it.
Dave, what's the most important element of this debate from your point of view?
Well, it seems obvious that I think everyone, it seems to be the border. I mean, without a borders, we don't have a country. And without a country, I guess we can just basically kiss our lifestyle goodbye here in another 50 years, if not sooner. And it just seems very important that to maintain a regulated economy and social structure, that we have an enforceable border and people, for obvious reasons, look at the health reasons, people with tuberculosis and everything else just come here that aren't tested or anything else. It's just a horrendous situation that definitely needs to be addressed, but I just don't see the political will. Nobody's willing to do anything. They come up with these cockamamie things that just are ridiculous. And as far as the law, The President of the United States already has enough authority right now to enforce immigration at the border. I mean, this BorderPatrol.com, they've actually demonstrated with evidence. I've watched it live streaming video. They report to the Border Patrol where people are breaking into our country, and the Border Patrol agents don't have the $100 GPS machine to figure out where these guys are at. Well, these excuses are just totally inadequate and just totally obvious that we're being lied to.
Dave, thanks for your call today. I appreciate
you bet.
It. Now, Mark DiCamillo, one of the things that truly surprised me is the gap between question 1 and question 9, and we'll recap these for our listeners. In question 1, it's the broad Senate proposal allowing undocumented workers who have been in the U.S. for 5 years some reasonable path to citizenship. And then the number 9 question is allow illegal immigrants to obtain a driver's license in California. Only 32% of those polled support it. The highest number, of course, is among Latinos at 51%. But everybody else is tied or straight across the board supporting that only at 28%. And on a practical level, not to try to insert my own opinion into your polling, but I wish they would have called me. to me, the greatest practical issue is that we have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of undocumented non-Americans in California who drive to work and back every day. And they don't have a driver's license, and in turn, they don't have insurance. And this is a great day-to-day practical risk to all of us. And so I do find it counterintuitive to see such broad support for, you know, generalized regularization of undocumented, but the refusal to give them driver's licenses.
Yeah, we've polled on driver's licenses now for about 2 years. It actually was a very contentious issue right at the time of the recall of Governor Davis, and it was one of the first things that the new governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, did was to rescind the law that had been passed where illegals would have the right to a driver's license. Really, what's going on with this issue, it's not so much allowing illegal immigrants to be able to legally drive. What it has to do, the public's concern has more to do with the form of identification that they're going to be given. The driver's license itself is really what the issue is about, and voters view driver's licenses as a very broad form of identification for other kinds of activities other than driving. They actually, in polls that we've conducted in the past, say that they would support a separate kind of driver's licenses that would identify the driver as an illegal immigrant, which would allow them to drive, but would not give them any other kinds of means for identification. Those are supported, those kinds of proposals, but haven't been able to get through the California legislature because it's seen as a discriminatory kind of thing, and it would stigmatize those who had that kind of identification. So it's a complicated issue, but from the voters' perspective, they really don't want to extend that form of identification to the illegal immigrant population.
Very interesting. Mark, less than 2 minutes remaining. I want to turn now to the field polls on President Bush's performance and popularity. Is this a new low in the field poll for a president in his second term?
Well, it's a new low for this president. He's in his sixth year in office. We have had lower ratings. Richard Nixon, actually in the sixth year of his office, had a 70% disapproval rating. Currently George W. Bush is at 62%. But shortly thereafter he resigned. He was in the midst of the Watergate scandal, and that was the lowest recorded measure for that president. When we look at previous presidents, the only other presidents that have had comparable disapproval ratings to the current president is George Bush's father, George Herbert Walker Bush, who got a 62% disapproval rating in July, but it was the fourth year of his administration, and he lost re-election during that year. Similarly, Jimmy Carter, in his fourth year, was at 66% disapproval. He lost re-election. So we're in somewhat uncharted territory with this president, given the fact that I don't think anyone expects him to resign anytime soon, and yet he still has 2.5 years left in his term, and from which he needs to govern, but he's going to be governing with a relatively small group of at least Californians on his side.
Very good, sir. Thank you for your work. Thanks for joining us today. Mark DiCamillo from the Field Poll here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, Larissa Alexandrovna checks in with an update on her investigative reporting on the Bush administration's intentions with Iran. That's next.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. I'll have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Chris Mavridis. The prosecution's wrapped up its case at the Zacharias Moussaoui sentencing trial. They used their last day to play more gut-wrenching audio tape, this time from inside the cockpit of United Flight 93, and the sound of a passenger revolt.
Is there something a hijacker asks? A fight? He begins rocking the plane's wings violently left to right. At 9:58, they want to get in. Hold. Hold from the inside, the hijacker yells. In the cockpit, a passenger yells in English. 2 minutes later, the sound of breaking glass. Jarr now seesaws the Boeing 757 steeply up and down. 25 seconds later, a passenger says, in the cockpit, if we don't, we'll die.
CBS's Jim Stewart says there's the sound of whooshing. The FBI says could be a fire extinguisher. Proof, they say, the passengers made it inside the cockpit. The plane later crashed in Pennsylvania. It's raining again in Northern California. Not good news after the soggiest March on record.
With the ground is already saturated, we've had a lot of rain this spring. And more rain on top of it is just making the ground even more unstable.
George Klein is a forecaster at the National Weather Service. Greg Moore is a fire battalion chief in Mill Valley, California, where they're looking for a 73-year-old man missing after a mudslide.
They found people stuck in these type of debris fields, you know, after a couple of days still alive. So at this point, we're treating it as a rescue and not a recovery.
All that heavy rain's also done a number on the state's levees. It's getting close to hurricane season, and officials don't want to be caught unprepared this time, so they've gotten together in Orlando for a big hurricane preparedness conference. And guess who else is there? Michael Brown, the former FEMA director. He tells CBS's Peter King all that talk that he's looking for a job in Louisiana, don't buy it.
Michael Brown says the whole thing's taken on a life of its own.
The story's gotten a little out of control.
Problem is, he says it's not true. He tells CBS News that he has been helping officials in hard-hit St. Bernard Parish for free. The relationship may turn out to be more than that.
It may down the road, but right now my primary objective is just to kind of help them get over this hump right now.
But he says he's not lobbying St. Bernard or anyone else here at the National Hurricane Conference.
I have more than I can handle right now, so I'm not here to drum up business at all.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Live in Massachusetts? Better get some health insurance.
It's law. Congratulations.
Governor Mitt Romney has signed a bill into law that forces all state residents to get health insurance. Senator Kennedy is praising the governor and state lawmakers, saying they have given Massachusetts just what the doctor ordered.
With the signing of this landmark health reform bill, after so many years of false starts, our actions have finally matched our words, and we have lived up to our ideals.
Romney has vetoed part of the legislation requiring businesses that don't offer health insurance to pay nearly $300 per worker, but legislative leaders are promising to override that veto. Kim Tunnicliffe, CBS News, Boston.
On Wall Street, the Dow closed 40 points higher. This is CBS News.
It's a fact. The more allergy symptoms you have,
the less likely your allergy medicines can help you. But Tylenol Allergy is different. It's the allergy medicine with the pure pain relief of Tylenol. And it relieves more symptoms than even the leading allergy prescription. Stop. Think. Tylenol Allergy. Take only as directed.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks.
Okay, Kenny. Try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please.
Prince Harry's now a lieutenant, but could this mean he'll be shipping off to war?
A proud moment for a queen and a grandmother. Queen Elizabeth walked slowly up and down the ranks of Britain's newest officers, which included her grandson, Prince Harry.
Many talented young people can learn the principles of management, but effective leadership is far more demanding.
Prince Harry now starts training with an armored reconnaissance unit. He says he wants to go wherever his unit is stationed. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Like your job? Looking for something new? You may want to consider a career in software engineering. Money Magazine conducted a poll and found that one ranks tops as the best job in America. Pays about 80 grand on average. If you don't like the work, you might want to try college professor. They work the least on average, 30 hours a week, and get the most vacation, 31 days. Not quite sure where network news guy ranks. I'm Chris Mavridi, CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of The Osgood File. In this surly to bed and surly to rise world, it's nice to find a group of people who love what they do. The accountants at Grant Thornton are just such people. It's their passion for what they do, their expertise and partner involvement, that have made them one of the largest accounting organizations in the world, with member firms in over 100 countries. Visit grantthornton.com. It just might brighten your day, too. Grant Thornton. A passion for the business of accounting. This is Charles Osgood, and I'll see you on the radio on The Osgood File.
Your picture-perfect lawn, suddenly destroyed by two types of insects. No matter. Backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advanced created Complete Insect Killer, the only product that combines two chemistries to eliminate insects above ground, plus below ground for up to 3 months. Guaranteed. Time to kick back and relax? Not if you're a damaging pest. Bayer Advanced Complete Insect Killer. Better science, better results.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Our incredible producer, Matt Renner, is off for a few days. Joe Foreman at the controls this afternoon. So if we go out of control, you know who to blame. Coming up later this hour, we open up the phone lines for the Free Speech Zone, where we take any comment on any subject from anywhere within the sound of my voice. But first, we like to get our weekly update from Raw Stories investigative reporter Larissa Alexandrovna. Larissa, welcome to the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
There's so much to talk about. Shall we start with Iran?
Let's start with Iran, since that's the next place we're going to be going.
Okay. Well, it's fascinating to see these developments. Yesterday, in a carefully staged photo op in Tehran, the president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, I have trouble with his name.
I know,
Ahmadinejad,
I do too. Right.
Announced that they have enriched some uranium. And it's like Karl Rove advised them on the staging of this event, because they have doves flying in the background and a scrim or a backdrop behind the president in English.
Yeah, well, I think he's playing to the Muslim world.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think it's playing to the West. And really, I think the West is spinning this so badly, because really, I think, what is it, like, I can't even remember the number, what, like 3.5, isn't it like 3.5 grams?
3.5%
enrichment. I mean, percent, I meant to say.
Yeah.
Right, and really, that's not enough to operate anything other than maybe a battery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really not that big a deal. They've been, and they don't have enough centrifuges on top of that. But,
right. But they staged this on right. the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad, which is an important day
right.
in the Muslim world. No cartoons were issued, fortunately.
Thank God.
And then the staging here reads, using atomic energy is our certain right. And
well, I mean, they're correct, are they not?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with using atomic energy. We're all doing it.
Well, it's do as we say, not as we do.
I forget. That's right.
So, Larissa, currently truthout.org is featuring a commentary from Professor Juan Cole, a great guy at the University of Michigan.
Yep.
And his quick summation is, with this enriched uranium, Iran can now power some Mickey Mouse glow-in-the-dark watches.
Oh, and here I said a battery. You see, it's Mickey Mouse watches. It really is not, you know, I mean, I actually haven't slept in 2 days because I'm writing my own Iran story, but
mm-hmm.
It really isn't as big a deal as both Iran and Western interests are making it out to be.
Now, wait a minute, Larissa. At rawstory.com, there is a link to Bloomberg, which is fronting for the American government line, the State Department,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
saying that Iran could produce nuclear bomb in 16 days.
Right. Unfortunately, I am not the front page editor,
mm-hmm.
and I have no control over what people in that department decide to feature.
Well, I'm not critical of Raw Story. I'm
no,
looking
but I
at
think
Bloomberg as a mouthpiece for the government.
Well, I think maybe, you know, I'm certainly not speaking for that for that side of things, but knowing them as I do, I think they're probably more snickering at it than they are actually showcasing it as anything serious.
Well, that was my reaction because
right.
when you read this, it is stunningly similar to the assertion made by Tony Blair that Iraq was able to hit England or other European nations with a biological weapon within 45 minutes. It's this,
right.
this phony sense of imminence that is being promoted when it's very clear that Iran would not be capable, even if they put this on a crash course and throw every resource they have at it,
right.
they would not be able to fashion even a crude nuclear weapon within right. the next 3 to 5 years, and many experts say it will take them 10.
10 to 20 even, some say, right. No, it's true. I mean, this is all really what this is again trying to sell a war politically, not factually. And we're, you know, we're seeing the same exact situation. We're seeing the fear tactics, the building of they're a threat when the interest is very clearly regime change, and it always has been. So I don't think it's going to make a difference what the facts are with regard to Iran's nuclear program. I think that this administration has set into motion what they believe is their right, or as, you know, I'm sure you read Cy Hirsch's article where, mm-hmm. you know, it's sort of like what's scary is the president has a messianic complex of sorts where he believes no one has the courage that he does, and so he might as well go and take this opportunity to attack Iran.
And here comes Condoleezza Rice, our Secretary of State, saying
uh-huh.
it is now time for action regarding
Well, we're
Iran.
Already doing action. That's the problem. I mean, we're talking out of both sides of our mouth. First of all, Iran has repeatedly reached out directly to the State Department and through proxies, domestic officials and U.S. officials abroad, and they have been rebuffed over and over and over. You know, they have been willing to discuss this. We have not. We are going into, you know, Iran, I think, is a certainty. The only thing I don't have specifically, let's say, is a exact time, but what I'm being told is operations, well, we already have operations on the ground, but more active, if you will, more military, visibly military-oriented operations.
Mm-hmm.
In the spring of 2007 is what I'm being told.
Okay.
So, you know.
Now what I realize that it's fuzzy right now, and it's hard to draw a distinction between contingency planning and what might be more serious plans that are on a faster track.
Right.
And Bush, I believe, is trying to confuse us and perhaps the Iranians right now by declaring that Seymour Hersh's reporting is a wild speculation. Of course, that is a way of issuing a non-denial denial.
Well, I mean, look, at this point, I think anything that comes out of the mouth of George W. Bush is essentially a lie. So let's not even go there. Let's focus on the facts of it, and that is we've already started operations on the ground that are covert, but we're not, and this is what my article is about tomorrow, we're not using our own intelligence yet again. Same mistakes. We're not using our own intelligence people. We're not using our specialized military forces. We're using regional criminal groups to collect intelligence for us and to create, to destabilize the region to prep for the invasion or whatever you want to call it, liberating Iran. I don't know.
Do we have a new curveball in Iran?
No, we have the same motley crew of people. We have the cast of characters is you know, it's when Senator Schumer said we just rearranged the chairs in the Titanic, he wasn't kidding. I mean, and this is what I'm reporting tomorrow. I mean, essentially, you'll see that the Chalabi features into this. If you remember Iran-Contra man, Ghorbanifar, he features into this.
A weapons trader.
Well, he's an arms dealer, con man. I mean, he does a little bit of everything, right?
And for you, I have some fabulous jewels, Larissa.
He can keep them. He makes me nervous. but what you're seeing again is the bypassing of all intelligence channels that would produce the kind of information, well, that produced last time that said, no, there's nothing there. They didn't like it, so they're using their own resources. And unfortunately, they're getting the same thing they want to see, which is what you pay crooks to produce for you.
Yeah.
It's a very scary situation. It's very volatile. But what's scarier is that we've already started things there. So while we're actually saying they're isolated, they won't talk to us, we're actually rebuffing them. And while we're saying we want the world to take action, we've been taking action for since last year on the ground in the south of Iran in a region known as Balochistan, which is on the border of Pakistan, with a large Sunni population.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's insane. I mean, we want to avoid war, but we're at war. We want to reach out to them, but they won't talk to us. But we're the ones rebuffing them. So it's really,
we're willing to at least consider the option of using a nuclear weapon to prevent them from developing a nuclear weapon. And gosh, that just makes so much sense, Larissa. We got to take a break.
Okay.
We'll pick up there as we continue. And lines are open if you have a question or comment for our investigative reporter from RawStory.com, Larissa Alexandrovna. On the Central Coast, it's 831-899-5792. Anywhere else, call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation.
We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 Federal and California Returns, W-2-1099 Info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540. Sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 520 now. Here's Metro Diane.
We'll start out in Salinas. Highway 68 at San Venancio Road. A transformer actually blew and the pole fell on a car, so CHP en route for that. Pajaro Porter Drive at San Juan Road. We have a two-vehicle accident. Looks like the vehicles actually have moved out of the roadway. They're just exchanging information over to the side. And also a two-vehicle accident in Felmas, Gushy Street at Russell Avenue. This report is brought to you by Cost Plus World Market. Get hopping on your Easter shopping at Cost Plus World Market. Save 25% on Easter essentials like handle baskets, Easter decor, and spring paper, bags, and trim. Get all of your Easter needs all under one roof. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Diane, we'll check back with you in about a half an hour. Coming up right after 6 o'clock, it's Barry Lynn and Culture Shocks on KRXA. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. We open up the phones for the Free Speech Zone just after 5:30, so get on the line if you have a comment for us. 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540. We continue with Larissa Alexandrovna from rawstory.com. Go to the website tomorrow and read her newest article about Iran. Now, Larissa, did you have a chance to check out the footage that Media Matters posted from Fox News Channel last week? John Gibson was interviewing Congresswoman Jane Harman, a very conservative, pro-military Democrat from Southern California. And he tried to feed her some kind of Fox News talking points or White House talking points. Sometimes it's hard to tell if there's a difference. saying that Iran is going to have a nuke any minute now. That was the phrase he used. And that a Russian general had also suggested that, that there were other threats that were quite imminent. And properly, Harman pushed back and said, well, I don't know what your sources are for that information, but she, as a member of the Intelligence Committee of the House, ranking Democrat, asserted that we don't have enough intelligence to determine the level of the threat, the number of sites that Iran may have. Certainly, there are numerous ones that have been reported to the IAEA, but it's likely that if they have a covert program, they have not revealed that to us. So the prospects of launching some sort of an assault using missiles and bombs, or even some sort of a ground invasion, which seems even more incredible and bizarre,
She says, well, gosh, we really shouldn't do these things until we have better intelligence.
Right, but we can't have better intelligence if our own intelligence collecting agencies are being bypassed and subverted. So that's the problem. That's what happened last time. Oh, you know, we got bad intelligence. No, we didn't get bad intelligence. You chose to literally create your own. And in my opinion, I've always described this as intelligence trafficking, and that is create it, send it out, and have it stream back in as though it was coming from foreign sources.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, no, I mean, I don't know how we're going to get accurate intelligence when, well, aside from that, we've eliminated any tracking we had in Iran with the outing of Brewster Jennings and Valerie Plame.
Mm-hmm.
So, frankly, I don't know what they're using in terms of valid intel collecting, but I know that the assets they're using now are not domestic, they're not military, they're not CIA, they're not MI6. They are literally on the terrorist watch list. So, and on top of that, they're still using Chalabi and they're still using Gurbanifer. So these are not remotely reliable people, mm-hmm. to say the least, and they're also very dangerous people.
And
this
is
who we trust.
Does your reporting fully support the information provided without sourcing from Seymour Hersh that a number of top military leaders have serious misgivings about this, and some are apparently threatening to resign if Bush goes forward with this plan?
Right. They're not comfortable with the plan. My article doesn't include that, no, because my article is more on the bypassing of intelligence altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard the same thing, but not only from military. I've had people from the State Department screaming bloody murder. I've had people from the UN, people from almost every government agency. They are extremely upset at not only the proposition even, but also at our bypassing standard protocol and standard procedures and
mm-hmm.
relying once again on cooked or purchased information. People are worried. And you can tell they're worried because the leaks are just, you know, there was a very quiet period. Everyone was frightened mm-hmm. when the NSA story broke and there were threats of trials and this and that. The dam sort of is broken, and you can tell that people are serious because they are leaking nonstop. I mean, every day
mm-hmm.
there is and that's just smallish things. Like even today, the story with the trailers, the biochemical trailers.
Right.
I mean, what is being leaked is really damning to this administration. People, so you can tell the level of concern by the amount of leaking and the type of leaking.
Mm-hmm. And Scott McClellan wants you to apologize.
Yeah, well, he can apologize to me for the last 6 years.
Of lies?
Uh-huh. The last six of lies. Well, and on his part, lies, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wonder how much he gets paid to justify that kind of lying. Could you imagine doing that for a living?
No. No, it's...
I mean, it wouldn't be... How do you go home and say, well, I was just, you know, doing my job? Whoa, lying is your job?
Now, Larissa, in all of this, it appears that we have not learned much from our highly successful invasion of Iran in 1979. And I say that's facetiously for those who
right.
don't know the history.
Right.
Jimmy Carter launched a military raid to try to free the hostages. And we never even got anywhere near the hostages. Our invaders got bogged down in the desert. There were helicopter failures. It was just a total debacle.
Right.
And the idea that we could launch an attack on Iran, either from the air or from the ground or both,
mm-hmm.
and that Iran would not retaliate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it appears they think that we could do this with impunity. And recently, Ahmadinejad has been trying to send signals that, hey, you know, if you take threatening steps toward us, we will reciprocate.
And they don't have to go far to reciprocate. All they have to do is blow up a couple of oil refineries or shut down oil distribution. And that would be, to us, the hardest punch. They don't have to go far. They have enough of their own crude to last them for a very long time. They can shut down production, and what are they, the third largest market, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, they somewhere can. They can send our economy spiraling if they wanted to, absolutely, because what is our economy based on? It's the petrodollar.
And they could amp up their support for Shiites in Iraq and make life complicated for us there.
That's falling apart on its own. They don't need to even go in there.
Oh, I see. Well, but also they could cause us to open up multi-front wars, and historically that's never been successful. Larissa, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Read it tomorrow at rawstory.com. Join me next in the Free Speech Zone. Call me, 888-579-2540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Ford Fusion, a four-door, five-passenger, mid-size sedan. This is my first time in a Fusion, and I think it's a great value. It delivers good mileage, even with a peppy, fuel-injected, 3-liter V6 engine and a 6-speed automatic. We took it for a weekend in the Napa Valley, and it performed very well. Inside, it's roomy and well-equipped with all the usual power toys, including 6-way power driver's seat and wheel-mounted radio controls. Options on my demo include heated seats and an audiophile sound system with 6 CD changer, MP3 input, and great speakers. If you like the Altima, Camry, or similar cars, test drive the Fusion. By the numbers, the 2006 Ford Fusion gets 21 mpg in the city, 29 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $26,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're into the free speech zone. Your calls are welcome. Toll free at 888-579-2540. Your comments are welcome on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Again, our phone numbers on the Central Coast, it's a local call and it saves me a nickel. Call us at 831-899-5792. If you're listening in Eureka or Phoenix or on your computer anywhere within the sound of my voice, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And if you prefer text communication, send me a note, Peter at peterbcollins.com. And that's the website where you can access archives, podcasts, our live stream. And I think there's a picture of me up there, too, if you always wondered what he looked like. Any subject is welcome. I think we've had some powerful comments on the program today, starting off with Robert Scheer and his interview with Colin Powell, who has admitted that it was Cheney who pushed for the phony pre-war intelligence to be fawned off on the American people as real. We talked with Jay Cost about the important election, the special election in San Diego yesterday to select the replacement for the convicted felon, Duke Cunningham. And it was not good news for progressives and Democrats. Jay Cost's analysis is that it's going to be very difficult for Democrats to win more than 11 seats in the House this fall, barring some major developments, and those always could occur. And it just shows how much work there is to be done. We also talked with the law professor from the University of Richmond, Carl Tobias, about this bizarre trial that's wrapping up in Sacramento related to the FBI informant who infiltrated the Lodi Mosque and, in my view, has in some ways framed this young man, Hayat. And we're going to, it's going to be interesting to see if they're able to win a conviction there. We also talked about the Moussaoui case, and again, I find it's just so despicable that our government has tried to turn justice on its ear. And the shameful exploitation of the tapes from Flight 93, and I'm not convinced that those tapes represent the real story, but we'll put that aside. Families of those who died on 9/11 were subjected to the replay of those tapes and other testimony because the government is so desperate to execute Moussaoui. And I have no brief for this guy. I think he's crazy. I think he's a liar. I think he has grandiose ideas of being martyred in the service of Al-Qaeda and as an enemy of the United States. But I believe in our system of justice, and I think it is being seriously abused. Because what they're trying to do is use these emotional bits of testimony to just overwhelm the jury and to say, yeah, we should fry him. Yep, he's got to go. He's got to be killed. And that's what this guy wants. John Farmer, a lawyer who was on the 9/11 Commission, he was a crony of Tom Kane's from New Jersey, wrote this op-ed piece in the New York Times yesterday saying that it's a bizarre kind of assisted suicide, that our government is working to give this man his wish. And I just find it sickening. I truly do. We also talked with Mark DiCamillo about the field poll on immigration, some surprising elements there. Great information from Larissa on our posture toward Iran. So any of this is fair game. Give me a call, 899-5792 in the Monterey area or 888-579-2540 toll free. And let me add one more item here. I happen to enjoy a little low-stakes gambling. My game is craps. And when I go into a casino, I am always amazed at the people who are hunkered down at a slot machine. And on a recent trip to Lake Tahoe, I was shocked because I went into one of my favorite casinos and I couldn't believe how quiet it was. No sounds of coins being dropped into slot machines or the sound of the clanking of coins as people win and the machine spits out the jackpot. It's all done now by computers and little credit slips, and you can put $10 into a slot machine, and it will continue to play until your money runs out. And if you end up a net winner, it pumps out a little card, you take that to the counter, and they give you your cash. And so my question is to you people who are really devoted players of slot machines, do you trust these gizmos? Here's a front page story, the front page of the business section of today's New York Times, talking about the Treasure Island Casino in Las Vegas. And a young man, a 28-year-old guy named Justin Beltram, is the director of slot operations. And he freely admits here that from his computer in his office, he can control every one of the 1,790 slot machines on that casino floor, adjusting the denominations required to play, the payback percentages, even the themes of the game. From his computer, he can change a Top Gun slot machine to, all cherries or whatever you like. Wheel of Fortune. And I just don't trust these things anymore. Now, maybe they sit there and they say, oh, he looks like a nice guy. Let's give him $100. But I like the old-fashioned machines that were not controlled from somebody upstairs, by somebody from upstairs. And, you know, there was some percentage of probability that you could put a dollar in and pull $10 out. So if you're a gambler, especially a slot player, give me a call. I would like to hear your thoughts about that. To the phones we go. Richard in Humboldt, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Wow, you really threw me for a loop with the gambling thing there. I've always said to my friends, you know, how can you trust that? I agree 100%.
Well, you know, if you went into a casino years ago and you saw them service one of the machines, they would open it up with their keys. And there was a kitty, you know, a collection basket on the upper part of the machine, and then there was a collection basket on the bottom part of the machine. And what I figured out, and it was confirmed by employees at casinos, was that $2 of every $3 went into the bottom collection basket, and that money was never paid out to a gambler. So the only jackpot available was essentially one-third of the amount of money pumped through that machine that day. Well, now, it isn't even that predictable or transparent. They have complete control of these machines, and you sit there, whether you're playing poker or blackjack or, you know, any one of these theme games, and basically, I trust the craps table more than I do any slot machine.
Yeah, well, I've got enough vices. I don't need gambling as another.
Okay, good.
But from one vice gambling to another, politics.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk about what I called yesterday. I had a question about when the president declassified this information.
The National Intelligence Estimate,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, I was flipping through this week's Newsweek this morning. Hadn't really read it yet. And I'll just quickly give you a quick paragraph here.
Okay.
It says, and of course they start off with, legally, Bush did nothing. The president can declassify a document anytime he wants. Indeed, a sanitized version of the document in question, the NIE, compiled by the CIA and other agencies, was formally declassified and made public only 10 days after some of its contents were leaked to Judith Miller and Woodworth.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they don't mention Woodworth in here.
Yeah.
So there's our answer 10 days later, if it can be trusted. And it seems to me that that's 10 days too late, doesn't it?
Well, there are a number of questions here, and yours is a good one, Richard. But one that I have is this. If you remember, in December, after Dick Cheney shot his buddy, was it December or January? It was in January.
It was in January, yeah.
He went on to make his apology on that very tough venue, the Fox News Channel, with Britt Hume. And after they went through all the hunting accident stuff, Hume asked him a couple of other questions. And in one of them, Cheney gratuitously volunteered that he had been given authority under an executive order to declassify information the same way the president had the authority to do so.
Mm.
And the timing of that was March of 2003. And if you go to truthout.org, they posted yesterday a fascinating and handy and helpful timeline of the Wilson Plame Rove smear effort. And if you look at that, the origins of it, the activation of the pushback came in the spring of 2003.
Yeah, before his op-ed piece in New York Times, right?
Right. They knew who he was because he had anonymously sourced a couple of articles, one by Bart Gellman in the Washington Post and another one I can't recall right now. So they were on to Wilson, and they were kind of laying the groundwork for this. And so one has to raise the question, well, was that executive order backdated? And was the authority that Cheney now claims ever utilized? Because they're now telling us that it wasn't Cheney who declassified it, but it was Bush who instructed Cheney to disseminate it because he had declassified it.
Right, right, right. Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter, you know, whether Bush knew, you know, how they were going to disseminate this information. I mean, the fact of the matter is that he said, okay, let's get this guy, you know. And I think it's just another example of the slimeball tactics of the Bush administration and the Republicans themselves.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard.
All right, thanks,
Good to hear from you today.
All right, bye-bye.
We're going to take another caller, too, in the next segment, so why don't you be one of them? Get on the line right now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Toll-free from elsewhere, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You slots players, give me a call. I want to know why you do it. 15 minutes before the hour, this is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
KRXA 540 with a traffic update at 547. Here's Metro Diane.
Our in Salinas, Highway 68 at River Road, a transformer blew and the pole actually fell on a car that was down below. So CHP on scene for that. In Corralitos, Varney Road at Story Road, a vehicle went off the roadway and into a creek. In Big Sur, Highway 1 at Old Coast Road, a large crack has opened up in the southbound lanes there, so definitely drive with caution. Some good news for an earlier accident in Felm, Gushy Street at Russell Avenue. That accident has been cleared. This report is brought to you by Cuff Plus World Market.
Come to CostPlus World Market for all your Easter needs and save $25 when you spend $100 or more. You'll find a huge selection of Easter baskets and candy, plus gourmet food and wine for Easter brunch. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you so much, Diane. Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show right here. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Everything is out of pocket. Somebody do something. The present situation is abstract.
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
We're in the free speech zone here taking your calls. And for our new listeners in Phoenix, Arizona, on KPHX 1480, I want to let you know that you're hearing our program on a delayed basis, but you can call in during our free speech zone between 5 and 6 p.m. Pacific time just about every weekday. And use the toll-free number 1-888-579-2540. And I have a special reward for the first caller from Phoenix. It's going to happen sooner or later. I'm going to send you a coveted limited edition Peter B. Collins picture postcard suitable for your dartboard. More of your calls in just a moment, but we have a late-breaking dispatch from the wacky world of Andy Borowitz. You can check him out online at BorowitzReport.com, and this trash will come to your email box every day.
Don't believe me if I tell you, not a word if this is true.
And the Borowitz headline reads, Osama moves to The View. TV's game of musical chairs continues. Television's game of musical chairs, which began with Katie Couric's move from NBC's Today to the CBS Evening News and continued with Meredith Vieira's shift from ABC's The View to Today, reached critical mass today as Osama bin Laden announced that he would leave the Arabic language Al Jazeera network to fill Miss Vieira's spot on The View. The choice of Mr. bin Laden, a veteran of thousands of hours of televised terror tapes but a newcomer to morning television, struck many in the TV industry as bizarre. But ABC spokesman Carol Foiler called his selection a home run for us. Osama is clearly going to bring in a whole new demographic. Traditionally, The View has been very strong with women, but relatively weak with rabid jihadists. Ms. Foiler said that Mr. bin Laden would not appear on the New York set of The View, would be allowed to do his job from a remote, undisclosed location. Basically, we're giving him the same deal Dick Cheney has. While ABC trumpeted its deal with Mr. bin Laden, his move to The View has created a vacancy at Al Jazeera as the network scrambles to find a replacement to provide it with chilling terror videos. We need someone terrifying who has TV experience. Right now, we're taking a close look at Paris Hilton. Elsewhere, the Secret Service reported that an intruder who made it onto the White House lawn on Sunday got closer to the Oval Office than President Bush did during the entire month of August 2005. Thanks, Andy. That's a good one. Jake in Arcata, you're next. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Pretty good, thanks.
I'd also mention August 2001 as well, as we all remember the August 6th CIA presidential daily brief.
He's a very well-vacationed president. He's heading for Crawford this weekend for his Easter break, and Cindy Sheehan will be there to greet him.
Right on. You know, if there's a politician in the country who does not deserve a vacation, it's George W. Bush.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of the Bush administration and those compulsive conservative liars, isn't it interesting how they're just desperately trying to discredit Seymour Hersh in his New Yorker article? And we all remember Seymour Hersh. He was the guy who broke the My Lai massacre in Vietnam. He was the guy who broke the Abu Ghraib prison abuse that this administration denied up until the photographs were released proving it. So I think when it comes to track records, we all know that the Bush administration's track record on telling the truth is abysmal. And the whole idea here, I know some people don't want to believe that Bush and Cheney are crazy enough to nuke Iran, but they are. Just read the Project for the New American Century. People like Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Libby, they all signed off on this. And they planned to go into Iran after they used Iraq as a staging ground. And they've been, you know, planning to use tactical nuclear weapons for a long time, bunker busters. A lot of military people have been talking about this and are very upset about this, as you see from all the leaking that's taking place. You know, and I think it's about time that we really seriously push impeachment, Peter, because these people in the White House, in fact, are criminal, they are crazy, and they need to go.
Well, I'm with you. The only problem is practical issues and one-party rule. And I think our first task is to get the Democrats who have no spine to support Russ Feingold's censure measure. I mean, that is a very fundamental, clear-cut violation of the law intentionally by this president, and it should not stand without some sanction. That said, we now have 3.8 senators. You got Feingold, you have Boxer, you have Harkin, and John Kerry has said he would vote for it, but he has not volunteered to be a co-sponsor. So, you know, I agree with you that impeachment would be the right course. The problem is we can't ground it anyway in the process at this point. And the discouraging report from Jay Cost earlier today is that it will be a miracle almost if the Democrats take back the House this November. And that is essential to any impeachment process.
Well, I did hear part of that report earlier, and I think, as we all know, the problem with the Democratic Party at this point is their failure to nationalize these congressional elections. And the way to do that, the way to drive voter turnout, because the more people that turn out is better for the Democrats. Low turnout elections favor Republicans, so we need a high turnout, and the way to do it is to push impeachment, because right now you have over half of America saying they want him impeached, they want him gone, so it's time the Democrats actually, like you say, get a backbone, stand up for the people, and do what is right.
Well,
you know,
we need
to push impeachment.
And the polls show, once again, that the people are ahead of the Democratic leadership on censure. There's a broad majority of Democrats, I think it's in the 55% range, that already support censure, and why don't we see that reflected in the Senate itself? Thank you, Jake. Now to Tori, also in Eureka. Hello, Tori. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. Good to talk to you again. I called in yesterday, and like I said yesterday, I am a Republican who loves your show, and I find it absolutely just upsetting to the hilt and terrifying at the same time that here we are with a president who can get away with so much, yet we look back at Clinton, and Clinton, yeah, he did something stupid, okay, yes, but he got out of office because of the sexual act, and here we are with Bush, who's still in office and killing people,
and
literally.
Tori, here's my little limerick, if you can handle it. Clinton lied. Semen dried. Bush lied. Thousands died.
Oh, and it's the truth.
Yep.
It's just amazing. And they're talking about, you know, censures and everything. And yesterday morning, I don't remember exactly what time, but I had awakened with the news on, and I remember hearing something about Bush saying, oh, we're going to go bomb Iran. And then there was no more talk of it. There was nothing else said, nothing else. You know, no, I was like looking at the news. I called up my aunt. I said, did you hear that? And because she's like, she's a 24/7 news watcher. And she said, yeah, she did. And then nothing else was ever said. And then Bush came on and said, oh, that was just a rumor.
That was wild speculation.
Wild rumors. Where do they come from?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this is what, you know, I said, I had forgotten. And I said, thank God we only have a couple of months with this guy. And she's like, when I was talking to my aunt, she's like, Tori, no. We have 2.5 years left with this guy. And I said, God, that's right.
The wrecking crew can do a lot more damage.
Oh,
Tori,
man.
Thanks for calling today. I got to sneak in another call, but you keep calling and we'll keep talking.
You
Valerie
bet.
In Carmel, you're next here on the PBC show.
Hi, Peter. I'm calling about our air quality. And on Monday, the EPA will vote to change two rules which will critically impact our national air quality standards. I have received a letter from the Monterey Bay Air Pollution Control Officer, Douglas Keaton, that was, he forwarded me a letter from all of the air pollution control officers within the state of California. All 35 of the officers are in opposition to this rule change, which in their 8-page letter of scientific evidence to support their claim will cause serious let's say, compromise to mm-hmm. the air quality here and across the nation.
Valerie, our time is tight. Could you email me information about that, peter@peterbcollins.com?
Yes, I'll
check it
will.
Out, and we'll get something on the air about that. I really appreciate the
tip. Okay, thank you.
Okay, good to hear from you. Bye-bye. That's all the time we have today. We'll be back at you tomorrow. We've got a great lineup of guests, including former Green Party governor candidate Dan Hamburg, who will be joining us on the program to talk about the risks of prescription drugs with mercury as an element of them. Porky's here, so I got to clear out. I'll spit it out. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, same time, same station, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. They played more audio tape at the Zacharias Moussaoui sentencing trial. Gut-wrenching for those listening in, but for the families...
It's just reliving 9-11 all over again.
Today, it was the cockpit voice recorder from Flight 93. CBS's Barry Bagnato heard it and says...
Even with this recording, mysteries remain, especially about the passengers' attempt to break into the cockpit. The head of a group of Flight 93 families claims the sound amplified shows that passengers killed one of the hijackers, one guarding the cockpit door. At the end of the tape, there's a whishing noise that lasts a number of seconds. The FBI tells CBS News it now believes that sound is a fire extinguisher, a sign the passengers were able to breach the cockpit before the plane crashed.
The prosecution wrapped its case up today. Tomorrow, the defense takes its turn. Police have smashed an elaborate people smuggling ring, sneaking illegals over the border. The one with Canada.
A tip put U.S. and Canadian agents on the trail of the Vancouver-based ring more than a year ago. They say the smugglers charged dozens of Pakistani and Indian nationals as much as $35,000 each for fake U.S. passports and illegal entry into Washington State. From there, they'd fan out across the U.S.
At CBS's Bill Whitaker, Homeland Security worries the next terrorist attack could be launched by someone hiding out in Canada, and they've been working to tighten border security there. It has been real soggy in Northern California. Just check this out.
San Francisco has had rain... Get this now, 37 out of the last 45 days.
And CBS News meteorologist George Cullen says they're getting more.
The heaviest rain has been falling right along the central shoreline of California. San Francisco's receiving very heavy rain. As a matter of fact, anywhere from an inch to an inch and a half of rain has fallen already today. And that heavy rain is going to continue through the night into tomorrow because there's a big storm and it's just sitting offshore.
And that'll mean some big trouble ahead, more flooding and more landslides. She sang the lead in this catchy 80s hit. Today, June Pointer, one of the Pointer sisters, died of cancer in Santa Monica. She was the youngest one, just 52. A pickup truck going the wrong way on a one-way street in Peebles, Ohio. Police begin to chase it when out of nowhere...
Looked like it was raining money.